Chapter 4. The Island of Monte Cristo. Luckily, Dantes was carrying a knife in his hand, and he managed to cut the sack open. But the stones tied to his feet were still pulling him downwards, so he searched for the rope and cut it. Then he swam powerfully upwards, and his head came up out of the water. He went down again at once and swam under the water for 50 meters. When he came up again, he saw a black, cloudy sky above the black, stormy sea around him. Behind him, blacker than the sky or sea, stood the castle on its rock. And on the castle walls, he could see the shapes of two men looking down over the sea.
Perhaps they've realized it wasn't a dead body that they threw over the walls,
Dantes thought. He swam underwater a long way, and when he came up again, he could not see the guards anymore. He went on swimming in the darkness, and when his foot hit a rock, he realized he was on land. Although a strong wind was blowing and rain was falling, he was very tired, and he fell asleep on the beach. When he woke up, he realized he was on Tiboulon, a small island where no one lived. He noticed a small fishing boat in the water near the rocks. He tried to warn the sailors, but clearly they could not steer their boat away from the danger. There was a terrible crash as their boat hit the rocks, and as Edmund watched in horror, four sailors fell into the water and were not seen again. Little by little, the wind died away and the sea became calm. Blue sky appeared between the clouds, and it was morning.
Soon, the guards will know that I've escaped,
thought Dantes.
Then the police and customs officers will search the coast and all the islands. Where can I hide? Oh, God, help me!
Just then, he saw a small ship coming towards Tiboulon.
They're probably smugglers,
he thought.
I'll pretend to be one of the sailors from the fishing boat. Then I'll be safe with them for a while.
He jumped into the sea and swam powerfully towards the ship. The captain saw him in the water and ordered his men to help Edmund into the ship. They gave him food, water and dry clothes.
Where do you come from?
Asked the captain.
I'm a Maltese sailor,
replied Dantes in Italian.
Our boat broke up in the storm last night. My poor friends are all dead.
Do you know the coast and the ports round here?
Yes, I've been sailing these seas all my life.
Well, perhaps you'd like to stay with us and work for me on this ship. I need someone like you.
Just then, they heard a loud bang from the Chateau d'If.
What's going on there?
Cried the captain.
A prisoner probably escaped last night,
said Dantes, smiling.
That's the warning gun.
The captain looked quickly at Dantes, but the young man seemed very calm, and the captain did not think he could possibly be the escaped prisoner.
I'd like to work with you, Captain,
continued Dantes.
By the way, what's the date? The year?
You don't know what year it is.
I was so frightened by last night's storm, I nearly went mad,
replied Dantes, laughing.
I've almost forgotten my own name.
Well, today's date is February 28th, 1829.
14 years before, to the day, the police had arrested Dantes. He had entered the Chateau d'If at 19 and left it at 33. Sadly, he wondered what had become of Mercedes. Then, with the light of hatred in his eyes, he thought of the revenge that he would take on his enemies, Danglars, Fernand, and Villefort. For the next 3 months, he worked with the smugglers, helping them sail in and out of the ports along the coast, with a cargo of gold, jewels, tobacco, and other expensive things. They kept away from the customs officers, who often followed them and shot at them. One day, the captain said to Dantès,
"Well, my Maltese friend."
Edmund had not told them his name, so that is what they called him.
"Tomorrow, we're taking on a cargo of silver and tobacco from another ship at the island of Monte Cristo."
Edmund tried to stay calm.
"How long will we stay there?"
he asked. He hoped he would have time to search for the treasure.
"Only a few hours,"
said the captain. It was an exciting moment for Edmund when the ship arrived at Monte Cristo that evening. It was a hilly island, and its rocks were turning pink and then blue in the light of the dying sun. As the smugglers jumped onto the beach, Edmund took a gun, telling them he was going to shoot a wild goat for supper. He managed to shoot a goat and gave it to the sailors to cook over a fire on the beach. But as he walked away, he seemed to catch his foot on a rock and fell heavily with a loud cry of pain. The sailors came running to help him, but he told them he was too badly hurt to walk. They would have to leave him on the island for the night and return to pick him up the next day. They agreed, and in an hour's time, they sailed away with their new cargo. As soon as they had gone, he jumped up and on a flat stone near the fire, put together the two pieces of paper that the priest had given him.
"You will find gold coins, jewels, and silver in the caves on the island of Monte Cristo. Go eastwards from the beach in a straight line and up the hill. Lift the 20th rock from the small tree."
Taking a burning stick from the fire, he went up the hill and found the 20th rock. Under it, there was a large stone with a ring in it. Before he tried to lift it, he looked all around, but no one was watching. He pulled the ring as hard as he could, and very slowly, the heavy stone moved, uncovering a hole in the ground.
"The caves,"
he thought in delight. He climbed down into the hole and found himself in a kind of underground room. And there, in the darkest corner, was a large wooden box. He hurried to open it and fell back when he saw what was inside. It was full of shining gold coins, bright jewels, and valuable silver. It was indeed treasure. The next morning, he was ready, with his pockets full of gold, when the smugglers came to pick him up. He asked them to leave him at the port of Marseille. Here, he bought a fast sailing boat and returned to the island alone to fetch the rest of his treasure. And when he sailed back to Marseille again, he was one of the richest men in the world.